everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show on a very, very dusty day here. So much so that there is an air quality alert. So if you don't have to go outside, don't do it. Welcome, Buckmaster, on a Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, in our 13th year with the radio project in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We come to you on 1030. The radio station is KVOI, Tucson's source for news talk. Our live line, 24-hour, 24/7. You can find all of our programs at buckmastershow.com, along with the live feed. Our live line for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. In an historic first, Donald Trump, now officially a criminal defendant in a case related to a hush money payment to an adult film actress. A few moments ago, CNN, quote, sources saying the former president did enter a not guilty plea to all 34 criminal charges. Let's go to the nation's capital on the live line. Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. He's an opinion page contributor for the Arizona Daily Star. Served under four presidents of both parties, founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry Bracey, it's an extraordinary day in American history, isn't it?
Well, it really is. Can you hear me, Bill?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Terry. Welcome to the program again. Always a pleasure.
Listen, I'm sitting here watching this almost in disbelief.
I know.
The idea that a president of the United States would be indicted in a courtroom in New York. And I just 34 counts. They're going after his business records, and they're trying to tie that to money that he apparently paid a woman. And it's just something to see. It's kind of a shocking scene. Sad day for the country. Humiliating day for Donald Trump.
You know, sitting here watching the coverage of this, it really is. It's a very sad day for America. And you wonder, does this kind of open the door to you politicizing former presidents? I mean, now that kind of the genie's out of the box. But maybe before we even get to that response, Terry, what are you thinking about the political implications of this? At one point, Donald Trump said, I think it was 2016, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and his supporters would stand by him. I think there's a hardcore of 35%, that this will kind of energize them. But there is some recent polling saying that Americans actually are in favor of this indictment. Some of your thoughts, please.
Well, I've been around politics a long time, and I can't think of a single case where an indictment has actually helped a politician. I mean, initially, Sometimes there's the partisans say, well, it isn't true and all that. And they see it as a weaponized attack by government on their person. But when these things happen, Bill, they're the result of the most serious kind of investigation. They don't want to get these wrong, and particularly with the president, who has a lot of popularity. And I just don't think this is going to go well for Donald Trump. I just don't.
Well, let's talk about the national debt, the clock ticking on this situation. Are you optimistic of a settlement?
I wish I were. I think I should be. I mean, we have no real option, Bill. If we have the Republican Party again split on this. And I wrote about this in the Star Sunday. It's really kind of unbelievable that we have all the financial advantages in the world, including the biggest economy, and the dollar is the stabilizing force of the economic world. Do we really want to give that up by some silly play like this for politics? And they have got to find a way to get this done. Our debt, you know, it goes back to Hamilton. I don't know if you saw the play or whatever, but Hamilton, from day one, our Treasury has been absolutely nuts about paying our debts. And as we've done that through the decades and centuries, we have become the legitimate force for the economy in the world. So I have to believe that this can get done. And I'll tell you how it'll probably get done. That it'll be the Democrats who do it. They'll probably end up with some of the Republicans, and then the Democrats will make sure that the economy doesn't collapse. It's just amazing to me, Bill, what's happened to the Republican Party. You got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene as a person that the media goes to speak for the party. Good grief. You know? It's just not.
Yeah, and then there's, and you wrote about this in your op-ed in the Star on Sunday, this whole issue about cuts in Social Security and Medicare. The Republicans are saying nobody's calling for cuts to Social Security benefits. They're trying to say that by statute, when the trust fund is depleted, that's what they are, what they're trying to articulate. Some of your thoughts, please, Terry.
It doesn't make any sense, Bill. This is money that all of us have paid into throughout our careers. And, you know, it's an entitlement because we paid for it. Now, have the costs gone beyond what was expected? Yes, they have. And are there reasonable ways to deal with that? Yes, there are. For example, we live longer now. And instead of retiring at 62, maybe they move it a year. And that takes care of another 20 years of debt. Or they move it a further year. I mean, these things can be worked out, and each generation has to do it. But the way not to do it is to threaten payments and then kind of try to make up, when you're criticized, try to make up all these stories about, well, we didn't really mean it. Well, they did mean it.
Terry, I want to quickly get into this, the foreign aid, the military aid to Ukraine. There is a split in the Republican Party over this. What are some of your thoughts about that, Terry Bracey?
Well, Bill, there has been a serious split in the Republican Party on foreign policy that goes back a long way. Most recently, after World War II, there was a big, big fight in the Republican Party over whether we were going to focus on America or whether we were going to be an international nation. And Robert Taft at that time was the majority leader was the Republican leader of the Senate, and he was the candidate for America First, and our Supreme Commander Dwight Eisenhower was drafted by a lot of establishment Republicans to oppose him. And Eisenhower, having lived in Europe for years during the war and knowing a great deal about it, believe that the European societies were extremely, extremely important to our defense and so on. And that split worked out, and Eisenhower won the election. We did the Marshall Plan, And we invested instead of pulling back, and it's created the greatest economy the world's ever known. Now we've got these new guys who come in, and they've got this idea that there's a new economic theory that you don't pay your debts. You don't pass the, the debt relief bill, and instead just ignore our debts and work something out. And that is really dangerous. That is really, really dangerous. Anyway, going back, the problem is that they're also reintroducing the idea of cutting off international aid. And there's a big fight brewing over the war in Ukraine. And a significant portion of the extreme right wing of the Republican Party is starting all over again. They want to cut money for Ukraine. And that's it. During the middle of a war where we are very much involved and our interest is very much involved, the idea of cutting the defense budget doesn't make a lot of sense.
Terry Bracey, thank you very much. We're going to have to run. It has been really, really wild watching what's unfolding, and we appreciate your thoughts. Thank you, Terry.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, and they take Monday off, well-deserved off, but day off. Anyway, check out Mona's. Open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman is on the road. We'll hear from him from Germany right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
All right, back to the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman is on the live line with us. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And now let's go on the live line to Berlin. Shelley Fishman in Germany. He may be in Germany, but it's still a Tuesday. Hey, Shelley, did you have a safe journey over the pond?
Yes, we had a safe, uneventful journey, and that's the way you want those journeys to be.
Yes.
They take far too long. So we left on Monday morning and got here on Tuesday midday. Now it's Tuesday evening, and I will stay awake long enough to do this interview.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. The first quarter, when all was said and done, wasn't all that bad, was it?
Actually, you know, we started off with a bang, and we thought it was going to, you know, really just continue the momentum that had been built up in the last several quarters of 2022. And then, you know, several headwinds got in the way and slowed things down. But at the end of the quarter, which was last week, we had the Dow ending up about 0.5% for the quarter, the S&P ending up 7.5%, and the NASDAQ ending up 17.7%. So, you know, I scratch my head and go, wow, you know, given all the mess that we had with the bank problems and the war continuing and et cetera, and all the problems that are competing for eyes and ears with us today that you and Terry just talked about, I am amazed that we did that well. By the way, bonds ended up about 2.2% in the first quarter. So, you know, almost regardless of what your investment portfolio looked like, if it was well-balanced, you did okay.
Well, there are some storm clouds certainly on the horizon, okay, as we alluded to in our interview with Terry Bracey, Shelley Fishman.
Yeah, so let's talk about the one that Terry mentioned, because, you know, he was talking about it, I think, and I agree with every single word he said, from a political perspective. But I look at it from an investment perspective and from an economic perspective. And when I think about the dangerous games that are being played between the left and the right on this issue of the U.S. debt ceiling, all I can think is that, you know, assuming that they eventually get this right before things start defaulting, then we'll all breathe another sigh of relief and say, okay, you know, we dodged that bullet. But, you know, in 2011, maybe it was 2012, we didn't quite dodge the bullet. Some of the same players were involved, and the world took a look at what we were doing, and they cut our credit rating for the first time in gosh knows how long. This time, the world has looked at us with a certain suspiciousness over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, wondering whether we are going to reassert our leadership in a way that allows them to continue to rely on the U.S. dollar and the U.S. economy as the anchor for world trade and world economy. And when I think about what might happen if for whatever reason, either we default on our debt or look like we're going to default on our debt, I can tell you that all the problems that we've had with inflation and with the bank problems and with mortgage rates going higher and interest rates going higher and banks defaulting is going to seem like paradise compared to what will happen if we default on our debt. Interest rates will spike. Mortgage rates will go way up. The idea that the rest of the world will have to try to continue to keep up with the rates that we will have to pay because of our reduced credit rating will send the world, I believe, and you know, Bill, I don't use this word very, very often with any predictability, but recession will be a very meek word for what will happen.
Well, let's hope it does not come to that. The financial condition of both Medicare and Social Security would actually take a back burner to this debt ceiling issue.
Yeah, because it's a little further off in the future.
Right.
But the very foundations of our current economy are based upon two things that are less robust here in the United States than they are elsewhere in the industrialized world, but still are fundamental to our economic growth and our economic security. And one is Social Security and the other is healthcare. And Social Security evolved in the 1930s during the New Deal. And Medicare, Medicaid, and eventually Obamacare evolved later on in the 20th century. But even though Social Security and Medicare are both somewhat guaranteed in terms of the funding that's used to pay those bills, if that funding is reduced, then the payments get reduced. And so if you are currently collecting Social Security either as a retiree or as somebody who's on Social Security disability, sometime around 2130, there is a very high likelihood that those payments could be reduced by as much as 30%. And that's, I think, a conservative estimate. On the other hand, if you are collecting Medicare, and those payments are essentially helping you to keep your retired state, if you will, above water, then if Medicare payments are reduced to the doctors involved and your co-pays have to go up because we haven't fixed the funding for Medicare, then that could take a lot of people who are currently either on the edge or just above the edge of being financially viable through their retirements, that could kind of put them underwater. And, I must tell you, there's no excuse for this. We know how to fix these problems. I understand that they're politically very difficult to fix, but the fixes themselves are not difficult.
Sure.
Somebody needs to get the gumption up in Congress to address both of these questions rationally and do it out in the open so that it doesn't look like people are sniping at each other. We can fix these problems in much the same way that Reagan fixed them in the 1980s and prolong the life of these trust funds for another 20 or 30 years, by which time us baby boomers will be gone. And so the math will be very different. Anyway, those are the two big medium range problems that I think are fundamentally threatening this economy. And when you threaten this economy, you have to go turn right around and say you're threatening the world economy. And that just doesn't make sense, Bill.
All right, Shelley Fishman from Germany. Shelley, how was your travel experience getting over there real quickly?
It was not eventful. The one complaint I have is it's cold here.
Cold.
It's really cold.
It's cold here too.
and we tend to come to Europe every April, and it's always nice. But it's 30 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So That's something that my New York bones have gotten used to not having to deal with anymore.
Believe it or not, we're going down to about 32 here. I know it's crazy, but then a first 90 degree weather will be coming up probably this weekend. Shelley, stay safe. We'll be hearing from you from where next Tuesday?
Well, we'll still be in Berlin next Tuesday. Berlin's a great city, and I wanted to spend, you know, at least a week and a half here, and we're going to do that.
All right. Stay safe. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Bookmaster Show Tuesday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. 3384 East River Road, open daily in their 53rd year of business. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. Let's go now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management to our friend, our border contributor, with his monthly border report, longtime border observer Keith Rosenblum. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Keith doing very well, and after a week in Mexico City, finds himself in downtown Tucson, Arizona. How's that?
There you go. Hey, Keith, I want to ask you, how is, of course, Americans right now glued to their television screens for a truly extraordinary day? With the former president of the United States in court. How is that being played, and how is it being covered in Mexico?
I would say the word astonishment probably applies, because in Mexico, it's just a given that if you're the president, or in fact, if you're a senator or a congressman or a judge, that you are above the law. So the concept of a society that says that everybody is equal in the eyes of the law is just astonishing. So it actually is a point of pride, whether the president, former president, turns out to be innocent or guilty. It is a great, what would I say? It's a great embodiment. It's a great sign to all cultures that nobody is immune. And so the Mexicans would, who regularly see impunity as a part of their culture, would be, are delighted. I actually talked to several, and they said to me, Keith, we are delighted. So they are delighted to see it.
How about the Mexican president, President López Obrador, who has these very lengthy news conferences? I wonder how he is weighing in on this.
Well, as the man who now saw press conference number 1,088 earlier today, and it really is at this point very much causing me breakdowns in sanity. But he has he hasn't commented on it actually, but he fancies himself or is a friend of Trump. He fancies himself or is a friend of Biden. Power tends to like power. And because it's relatively lonely at the top, a place that you will not get to, nor will I, they find alliances of every, it's not so much that you're a member of this or that party. It's just that what you have in common is lots of, you know, millions of people who depend on you. And so you find unity. I remember when I was working with Jim Colby, the people that were, appear to be arguing and, you know, exasperated and intolerant of the other, the moment they got into the elevator, in the Congress or elsewhere, and were outside of the public eye, were all just chums. They were chumming it up. So the same thing applies at that level to presidents. They all become buddies once they meet, because what unites them is it's really lonesome at the top.
Speaking of media coverage, the very tragic situation with the migrant deaths, several dozen migrants killed in that fire across the border from El Paso. That, by and large, Keith Rosenblum, that didn't get a lot of coverage in the United States. What about in Mexico?
Keith Rosenblum's been in that building, and Keith Rosenblum has seen the Central Americans and South Americans and some Europeans who have been jailed in that building. And we have to, it's funny because we do use the phrase jailed, and they were jailed, and they themselves were, and this is the tragic part of it, there's lots of tragic sub-stories, but they set the fire. And so what we do, as we tend to do, is we tend to make them into a lower class of being, as what President López Obrador did. He devoted, actually the Mexican press was a lot of fun to follow because it follows that he devoted something to the effect of a minute, 12 seconds to that issue. And just so, well, you know, kind of a bummer. They started the fire and look what happened. Mm. And in the meantime, he devoted something that same day in the order of 15 minutes or 18 minutes to all the perceived grievances that he has with the, what he calls the organic intellectuals of Mexico and with the media.
What?
So you're correct. It got, yep, that's what he does every day. And as I say, you're talking to the authority on this. His press conferences are generally elicitations of what grievances he has with the rest of Mexico, and particularly the media with whom he's been bashing, you know, since day one. And he never, his press conferences, this is the part that's so interesting. They last 2.5 hours, but generally there's about 3.5 minutes of things that are worthwhile. But the problem is it's not like the old Associated Press inverted pyramid where you get the news first, you know, and then all the subsequent paragraphs no, actually, you have to. It's quite possible that in minute 70, the president will actually say something. For example, today, at the very end of the press conference, was, by the way, I wrote a letter to Xi Jinping telling him we need to do something about this fentanyl situation. And he read the letter. And it's a beautiful letter. Actually, it made me think for one moment that López Obrador is a man of sound mind, because the letter says, dear, whatever he is, dear President Xi Jinping, or I can't remember what his title is, chairman, could you help us out? Like, we in the United States have this real, this ongoing issue. The United States is threatening to invade me with Senator Graham leading the charge if we don't do something about it. He says Mexico does not have a fentanyl problem. The United States does, but they keep blaming us for it. In a normal world, Bill, which we do not occupy, certainly I don't, that would be the kind of thing he would lead in with, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, wait a minute, Keith. Are you saying the president of Mexico has reached out to China for, it almost sounds like some kind of, maybe even military.
It sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
It but does.
I'm only telling you because you asked me. I couldn't have made that up.
No.
It was at the end of his press conference.
Oh,
so that's why you have to pay attention to what he says, because otherwise you might get caught off guard. Before, I want to make sure that prior to your break or after your break, because you and your audience tend to be people that enjoy traveling, I wanted to boast about having flown into Santa Lucia Airport, Mexico City. I took a nonstop from Mexicali last Monday night and landed at the number two airport, the one that has been the airport that President López Obrador has referred to every single day of his administration. And I can tell you now is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. The only thing that's lacking are some passengers.
Yeah, I want to hear all about that. But before we do take the break and kind of keeping with the border, this Title 42 expulsion is supposed to be to go away, I believe, in May. And that was a provision that the Trump administration used to generally block land entry for many migrants. What is the impact going to be on the border, Keith, if this goes away?
You know, it's going to be one more of those hot potatoes. In the context of this conversation, as you bring up what happened in Ciudad Juarez, the Mexicans are way ill-equipped to receive anybody. This has never been a part of their culture to receive. You know, Israel, other countries that have received immigrants or have a history of it are set up to do it, and you don't wind up with the circumstances that would allow 40 people to die in a fire. Because they were treated the same or even worse than people who were down a couple miles away from that jail and who had committed, you know, felonies, who were in maximum security prisons. And in this case, the idea that we're going to kick more people back into Mexico, which is what would happen, is exactly what Mexico doesn't need right now. The country is ill-equipped unless someone goes and helps it when it comes to how to handle. They've taken some measures, but if we're not going to receive people by land or we're going to make it tougher, number one, we'll push people, again, to the seas. We'll push them to come through, you know, alternative methods. But it's hard to – it'll be one of those who knows yet in the laws of unintended consequences, what's going to happen. But from the Mexican standpoint, they're not prepared to receive any new stream of people. They can't even handle what they've had up until now. And again, unless the United Nations, like High Commissioner on Refugees or somebody joins in, and that's never been on anybody's drawing board.
We'll take a break right here. We'll have more with Keith Rosenblum. It is our monthly border report. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It'd make a great springtime getaway, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do, a lot of outdoor activities, including the lovely Gila National Wilderness. Start your planning now by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for all sorts of tips on things to do. There are no shortages of things to do and no shortages of great places to stay and dine in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back to the live line. He is in downtown Tucson today, but just returned from a week in the Federal District of Mexico, from Mexico City, Keith Rosenblum. Keith, I want to hear about your trip. So you flew into the new airport?
Your homeboy flew from Mexicali, to which is, you know, Calexico, California. Crossed over. I took a flight that left Mexicali at 12:50. And I want to point out that in the airport, the place was jam-packed on a motor bin Friday night with other flights going to Cancun, Guadalajara, there was Mexico City, Benito Juarez, the regular airport, and I got my crash course, my introduction to this new Santa Lucia airport, and it is gorgeous. The flight, and by the way, I recommend to all of your listeners, if you ever want to fly very inexpensively, always go to a border airport. That is to say, go to Ciudad Juarez, go to Mexicali, go to Tijuana. Hermosillo is not really border, but again, I could do this flight round trip for under $160.
Wow.
That's a lot of distance, huh? And let me just tell you, since you asked, I'll tell you about Santa Lucia Airport. It's gorgeous. Everything the president has said is true. there's only about 20 flights a day or 25 right now compared to, I think, like 1,000 at the other airport. But it is a gorgeous facility. It's part of an Air Force base, but this is like the civilian part of it. There are two or three parks adjacent to it. And to me, the airport is a beautiful destination in and of itself. Even though I wasn't going to fly there, if I lived in Mexico City, I would go out to the airport. It has art galleries. It has plazas. I'm telling you, the airport is a world-class, beautiful facility. And it's a matter of time before it nibbles into the Benito Juarez traffic. Our Department of Transportation, or FAA, has yet to approve it for international travel, which was funny because the one international flight that was arriving at the same time, or very close to mine, was the Venezuelan airline. How's that? So the flights that were coming into that airport when I were there, there was Mexicali, there was Monterrey, there was Guadalajara, I want to say Merida. And anyway, all I can say is world-class facility. All the flights are cheaper than going into Benito Juarez, and it's a matter of time. And I don't see anything wrong with everybody whines about the second airport, you know, how it was ill thought out. Well, you know what? We'll go to London, go to Paris, go to lots of places in the world. Look at L.A. with five airports, you know, four airports within 20 miles of one another, all commercially successful. It'll define itself over time. And then I took the big argument against Felipe Ángeles is, oh, it's so far away from Mexico City. Well, yeah, but you know what? I took an hour in public transportation. Cost me all of 50 cents, 50 American cents, and I was in downtown Mexico City in an hour. So it's not nearly as bad as people might paint it.
Keith, how far is that airport from downtown Mexico City in terms of mileage?
Same distance as it is from downtown Tucson to Marana, except for there's no highway, really. It's mostly city driving. So somebody's got to put some money into some fluid transportation. I took what's called the Metrobus or Mibus. I can't remember. And the service was excellent, but it was an hour on the bus. And you can still, you know, Uber into downtown Mexico City from this airport was 500 pesos, so about 27, 28 bucks. Mexico, and that is what my point to family and to a lot of people, you can find third world Mexico and get around the country for free. You can find second world Mexico and get around for a lot less than it would cost in the U.S. And if Uber is your call, or, you know, the international world, the diplomatic world, then you can also come very close to spending what it costs in the U.S. to get around. But I would say across the board, I stayed in a very nice hotel in Mexico City for the total of, you know, $40 a night while I was there, and felt perfectly safe. I was by Monumento a la Revolución, the Monument to the Revolution. But the airport itself is going to be a gem in years to come.
How about a high-speed train, a high-speed rail from that new airport right into downtown Mexico?
It's a matter of time. It is a matter of time. And that's what the Mexican president has made one of the key, keystones of his administration, the building of the Tren Maya, which are 1,000 miles of rail off in the in Quintana Roo and Yucatan and that area. And that is Chinese train technology. So it won't surprise me that very soon they have something like that in Mexico City itself.
You know, getting back to this note that the president of Mexico made at the end of his long, rambling news conference today, his relationship with China, and actually saying, hey, we've got the Americans coming down on us about the fentanyl crisis. What role could China possibly play in this? Just speculation, Keith Rosenblum.
China's role would be to say, we're going to pay attention to all the precursors that we export. Mm. And then find their way to Mexico and to the labs there that then enable the production. And I'm sure there's fentanyl that's already prepared for, you know, and is shipped into Mexico. What I promised to do for you, by the way, I'll go ahead and send it to you so you can share it with readership. I'll send you the text of the letter that the president wrote to the to the chairman of the communist. Well, he's the president, like, or prime minister, whatever it is, of China. But he wrote him a very, you know, a letter detailing that and saying, listen, Mr. Xi Jinping, this is not our problem. It's the Americans' problem. But you could sure help out both of us if you would play a role in restricting and in monitoring. And Israel is a very unusual piece of diplomacy.
Well, the president of Mexico continues to insist that his country does not have a fentanyl crisis or problem. Does it have an issue with fentanyl?
No. No. And this is the, you'll find this is the key, not the apologist for Mexico, but rather the key that sees that the Mexicans are just not as untethered as we are. They don't have the addiction problem. They don't have this particular crime problem. They have their other. Don't worry. There's plenty of problems with their own cartels and their own mafias. But when it comes to this kind of unhinged behavior, Mexico does not have mass shootings the way that we do. They don't have the disconnect in the family that we have. And this is going to be a part of it. The fentanyl is not an issue. Mexicans will do, you know, their marijuana. They'll do some of the stronger drugs. But when it comes to a societal problem, the president's absolutely right. It is not a Mexican problem.
But you look at the crisis that we have with addiction in this country, and then this stark contrast where the cartels are making their money off of this appetite for drugs in America.
Well, give them credit. They're good business people. I mean, it's just not of course they are. You name the product, and they will make it for us. If we declared a ban on raisins, the Mexican cartels would move right on in and provide us with our raisins. So to somehow impute or to blame people for meeting our needs, and so far as I know, nobody's ever held a gun to anybody's held in the United States and said, here, snort, inject, digest, drink, whatever else you want to do, whatever method there is, inhale. So, no, the cartels, whatever it is, if it's a market to come to the U.S. illegally, they figure out a way to provide the service. In the case of fentanyl, I hate to sound so jaded, but it's a problem that is of our own making. This is we brought upon ourselves.
And look how the cartels transition wherever there is an opening into the human smuggling.
Bill, I'll just say what I think I've said in every segment of every show you've ever done.
Yes.
I've said that we were too foolish to learn between 1919 and 1933 ourselves. Mm-hmm. That was when we tried prohibition. We realized it was a failure. And so what do? We implement exactly the same strategies for the next century.
That's a good point. Okay, Keith Rosenblum, great talking with you, Keith. Thank you, and take care.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. On behalf of Keith and John, engineering and producing the show, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well. Hope you have a great afternoon.